So Rav Chaim told us once there was some kind of a din Torah in Europe between a Malamed and the Balabatim of the community. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had a paskin on the case. So one of the points of the din Torah was whether the Malamed covered enough ground or not. He didn't cover what they had made up in advance to cover. Rav Chaim paskin that a Malamed doesn't have the din of a Kavlan, he has the din of a Poel. We were discussing a little bit a couple of weeks ago. A poel means he has to work for certain hours and finish as much as he can, but he finishes a lot or a little. And a kavlan has to finish whatever they made up to do. No, not so much quantity. It depends what was made up in advance, right? What the conditions were. So Chaim assumed, that Malamdim today, even if you engage him to finish a certain thing, it means he should try to finish that. But, right. So we started the second parak this beginning of the year. We didn't really finish it at all. We left out a lot. Tonight is the last shiur, so I figured I'd pick out... all the Gemaras are very interesting. We're leaving out very important Gemaras, but I figured I'd pick out a very famous piece of Gemara on Daf Nun Amud Beis. The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Nun Amud Beis and the Gemara following on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph is a very famous Shas topic. Before and after, there are also famous Gemara, Shas topics, but this is one that people usually don't cover. The Mishnah has the following din: Hamakadosh Isha Ubito, then the din is if I marry a girl, so I'm not permitted then to marry her daughter, or to marry her mother, or to marry her sister, calls me that my wife is alive. When the wife dies, then you're permitted to marry the wife's sister. The Torah only forbids, Achos Ishto V'Chayeho, when the wife is alive. But the others, let's say the shviger, the mother-in-law, or the stepdaughter, the wife's daughter, is forbidden even after the wife dies. What happens if the man is mekadesh a woman, and then he gives kesef kiddushin to the woman's mother, to his mother-in-law, or he gives kesef kiddushin to his wife's daughter, or to his wife's sister, at a time that the woman is an erva? So not only is the halacha that he's not permitted to live with the erva, the kiddushin is not tofsin. Because we have a klal that by all chayvei krisis, ain't kiddushin tofsin. If a kohen gives a ring to a grusha, or a yisrael gives a kesef kiddushin, gives a ring to a mamzeres or something like that, where it's only an isa lav, there's no isa koris, there's no isa misa, then the din is we pass from that kiddushin atofsin chayvei lavin, and the kohen has to give her a get. It doesn't mean kiddushin atofsin and b'diyeva the kohen may live with the grusha. It means if the kohen married a grusha, he gave a kesef kiddushin, the kiddushin is chal, and has to give her a get. He can't just say goodbye to him. She needs a get if she wants to remarry, right?
If you try to do something connected by Torah, with using a promise that is permitted from the Torah, is that the idea here?
That's the idea in both cases. The Torah forbids the kohen from making kesef, from making kiddushin with the grusha. The Torah forbids me, let's say I go up to your wife, and I give her a ring, and I say, Hari amu kudashisli. The din is that's an avera. I'm not allowed to be mekadosh my sister. I'm not allowed to be mekadosh my mother. I'm not allowed to be mekadosh an eshes ish. And although in both cases it's an avera, it's forbidden for the kohen to be mekadosh grusha, and it's forbidden for the yisrael to be mekadosh mamzeres, and it's forbidden for anybody to be mekadosh an eshes ish, or to be mekadosh any one of the relatives listed in the chumash as an isa kores. And in all cases, we ought to say either iyavid mahani or iyavid loy mahani. The Gemara has a debate in the beginning of Temura. What's the halach if the Torah forbids me from doing something? And I go ahead and I do it. Can I create a chalos? Can anything take effect if I've done it against the wishes of Torah? Torah says I'm forbidden. I'm a kohen. I'm not allowed to marry a grusha. Torah says I'm not allowed to marry an eshesish. I go ahead and I give kesef kiddushin to the grusha or to the eshesish. So the Gemara poses this question. What do you hold? It's a machlokes abayi v'rava. Do you say, Lil sedam rachmon aloy sabit? Any matter that the Torah forbids me from doing, do you say, Iyovid mahani? If you went ahead and you did it, but Iyovid, it can take effect. But you say, no, Iyovid, loy mahani, it cannot even take effect. So the Gemara asks,
the
child will not be a mamzer, right? Will not be a mamzer.
Right.
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 Right, the Gemara says that these two are interrelated, right? Because the Kiddushin are tofsin by the Kohen and the Grusha, therefore the child is not a mamzer. Whenever the Kiddushin are not tofsin, then the child is a mamzer.
My sister would be a mamzer?
Yes, sister is a mamzer because it's an Issachar. Right. So the Gemara asks, what do you say? Do you say, Iyovid Mahani, Debriyevid, if you went ahead and you did something, be Isser? It does create a halos, it does take effect. So even if I'm a Kaddish and Eshesish, the woman should become my wife in addition to being your wife, she should become my wife also. I'm a Kaddish, my mother. And she said, the Kiddushin atofsin, the only thing is we can't live together and I have to give her a get. But she said, the Kiddushin atofsin. And if he say that Yovid Leimahani, then whenever you do something that the Torah forbids you from doing, it cannot take effect, because the Torah didn't give you permission in the first place to do that. So he should say that if the Kohen gives Kesef Kiddushin to a Grusha, or if anybody gives Kesef Kiddushin to a Mamzeris, he should say the Kiddushin on Atchal. So the Gemara asks, which is it? How come he say by the Chaybi Krisis, but the Yavid the Kiddushin on Atofsin? They're not even married at all, there's no need for the get. And if it's only Chaybi Lab, then he say the Kiddushin on Atofsin, you're not allowed to live with the person, but you do have to give a get. So the Gemara says that's not a contradiction to either Abai or to Rava. Because there you have psukim beferish. We have psukim from the Chumash that indicate, and it's found later in Kiddushin. The sugi is later in the end of this parak, in the third parak, in the fourth parak. Various psukim that indicate that if one is mekadesh chayvi lavin b'diyevid kiddushin atovsin, and if one is mekadesh chayvi krisis b'diyevid kiddushin atovsin.
Krisis really said that chayvi krisis is considered matana. That he gave it as a matana.
Right.
What did he mean it for? Did he give it to
the matana? The Gemara raises the question: what's the din if a man gives a ring to his own sister mekadesh achosin? He tells his sister hariat mekudesh esli. So did he mean? Obviously, the kiddushin are not going to take effect. The halacha says it doesn't take effect. So the question is: did he mean to give his sister a gift and she doesn't have to give back the ring? Or what if he demands the ring back later on? Maybe he gave it to her as a pikadon. Maybe if he demands he wants it back, she does have to give it back.
If I still do it, that's visible.
Right, is that the similar to this? In that respect, I'm doing something that the Torah told me not to do, and I'm doing it in any case. Now, assuming I did steal a little bit of it, am I just considered a bad guy? No, on the first two days you need shalachem. So, okay, fine, I still stole it. I still have the mezuzah, but in the mitzvah in the meantime, is it my mitzvah to give?
That's
the shaykh. No.
I mean,
the mitzvah certainly doesn't go back to the owner of the
tefillin. Is it my mitzvah? Do I get a mitzvah?
That's the question of mitzvah habo, Baver.
There's no mitzvah in the chayfetz. If you have a lulav hakozor, a lulav is a kosher dog. Or if you take it,
you marry an eish ish.
The isha is in the chayfetz itself, in the woman.
No, they're different cases, unrelated. The Gemara gives differences between
them. Somebody's bringing a cold, let's say, an animal to be makrified, he puts a nice thing with him, bring it. So since I bring his korban, I don't bring my korban, I bring his korban.
No, the Gemara says if somebody was magdish a korban,
yeah,
and I stole the animal after he was magdish, yeah, and I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and tell a kohen bring it for me, and the kohen in the Mishnah says in Zvachim, there's a takana, the kohen don't have anything in mind, they're just makriv stoma. Whoever the owner is, it should be oiler for him. So then the Gemara says, it's offered on behalf of the nignav, so the Gemara calls it chazra kevin labayim. That's considered like I did the Hashavas HaGneiva, because he was Magdish the Korban, he wanted to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And I brought it thinking that they're going to, intending that they should offer it for me, but the coin doesn't have me in mind, he has in mind whoever the owner is. So then the Gemara says, that's Hashavas. It's okay. Shalach Zela.
Then
it's a new Shalach Zela. After they give me the flesh and I eat it, then it's Zela the flesh. But on the whole behemoth, when I steal it and I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara calls that a Hashavas HaGneiva.
Sure, because it's stolen.
If it's in the Dover, he's finished. Now the Mishnah has an added chiddush. This is, if I marry to a girl, and then I go and I give a ring to her mother, to her sister, to her daughter, so then the din is, her mother, her sister, her daughter are isuri krisis, and the din is en kiddushin tovs and the chavi krisis, so the kiddushin wouldn't take effect. What if I go over to two girls, bevasachas, two sisters, one is a mother, one is a daughter, and let's say there's one shatchin is looking for shiduchim for all of these girls together, he was appointed as a shliach by all the women to accept kesef kiddushin. One of the women was appointed by the other one to accept Kesef Kiddushin on behalf of herself. She's looking for a shidduch also. And on behalf of her daughter, her sister, or her mother, she's also looking for a shidduch. And I go over and I give two rings to the shatchan or to the woman. And I say, Harei shteichen mekudoshesli. I want to be mekadosh both, the Isha Bito or the Isha Bachos. So at the time that I gave the Kesef Kiddushin, nobody was an erva yet. They're both single. If I would have married one of them first, then the other one would have become an erev, then the second kiddushin would not be valid because ain't kiddushin tavsim mechavi krisis. But at the time that I gave the two rings, all bevasachas, nobody's married to me yet.
You don't know which one comes first.
And they're both coming with bevasachas. So that's the case, the funny case that the Mishnah speaks about. Hamukadosh isha ubito, ha isha v'achos sokiyachas. he's mekadesh two sisters, or a mother and a daughter, with asafa. So the Mishnah says, Eino nekudoshim. The kedushin cannot take effect.
Won't cancel each other out anyway.
Right, so the Gemara is going to have to discuss why should that be so. Why? Then the Mishnah continues, Maisik once occurred, b'chamish nashim, that there were five girls, we were all looking for shidduch, b'hem, and among the five girls, two of them were sisters. B'hem shtei achoyitz. And then, and these girls had a farm, or they had a garden in Eretz Yisrael. So the fellow was a wise guy, the chassid. He walked over to their farm and he plucked off some of the fruits and vegetables from their farm. He stole their fruits and vegetables, and then he gave it back to them. And he said, "Hari Amar Kudashisli." So normally it would not be good for kiddushin because he has to give something from his own pocket to them. He doesn't have to give a ring. He can give oranges, bananas, apples, and pears also. Has to give anything that's a Shavuot Pruta, but he has to give something that's his. Here the hitch was that it was a Shemitah year. In the middle of the Shemitah year, so all the Paris are Hefker. So when he stole their Paris, he wasn't stealing their Paris, he was taking Hefker. All the Paris that grow in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year, even if it's owned by women, it's a Chiddush in the Mishnah, even if the field is owned by a woman, it still becomes Hefker. That's Ben with a question in Toskin. Shouldn't we consider a mitzvah sasa shasman grama to be mafkir your Paris? There's a big machlokes in Yeridea, Hilcha Shemitah. What is it then that all the peres are hefker during the Shemitah year? Do we say that the peres that grow are automatically hefker? HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael is hefker, whether the owner of the field declares it as such or not. Let's say he keeps his fences up and he locks the gates. And I sneak in and I steal the peres. So do you say that the Torah declares that all the peres that grow in the Shemitah year are hefker? Or no? The Torah requires of every field owner, every farmer, that he should declare his Paris as Hefka. This was a big machlekes in the 1500s in Eretz Yisrael between the Beis Yosef, Abbi Yosef Karo, and the Mabit. They had many machlekes.
He asked to rush in any place where Baal HaBazar to go out and say, I hereby rush to this
field. The Pashtus is the other one. The Pashtus is that it becomes Hefka automatically.
Isn't it automatically Hefka then? As soon as Shemitah comes in, you don't have to tell
the Baal HaBazar. That's the Pashita way. That's the way everybody usually learns. But some Paschim insist, no, that it doesn't become Hefka automatically. It's a mitzvah on the Baal HaSadeh to be mafkirit. So the Minchas Chinuch presents this taina. If the mitzvah on the owner of the field, on the farmer, to declare as hefker his teiris, so women should be exempt from this mitzvah because it's a mitzvah says
she has man
groma.
But she said the other day instead of lo bayom or lo balayla. So this is a whole year.
Okay. So the Minchas Chinuch points out, you see from this Mishnah that it's not correct, that something is wrong with this cheshbon. Either you say that it becomes hefker automatically. That's the way we would all say intuitively becomes hefker automatically. That's the parshim shlat mechumish. Well, no, the Chumash, the Pasuk in Chumash Grada doesn't say that. The Pasuk in Mishpatim says, "V'hashvi is tishmeteno unetashto v'yochla v'yoni amecha." So the literal reading of the Pasuk in the Shas, all over in the Gemara, never says that the owner of the field is mafke l'per. It says everything is hefker in the Shnas HaShemitah. But in the Chumash it says tishmeteno, that the Baal HaSadeh should be mafke. In fact, the Yerushalmi derives the institution of hefker in general. How do you know if I own a jacket? I declare it as hefker. How do you know that such a thing exists? Maybe I can only transfer ownership to somebody else. Once it's owned by me, when Hashem Yisrael created the world, he left everything hefker. That's from Sheshis Meberashis, it's all hefker. But maybe as soon as any human being is kind of any property in this world, maybe the only way he can get rid of it is by transferring ownership to somebody else. How do you know that there exists an institution of hefker? That something that belonged to me once, I can declare as ownerless and poof, it becomes hefker. So the Rishami derives it from this pasuk that it says in Parshas Mishpatim, "V'hashvis tishmiteno unetashto v'yachla v'yoni amer." So the Rishami asks, "What does the kefil haloshin signify over here? That it's v'hashvis tishmiteno. Why unetashto?" So from this pasuk we derive, "Yeshloch netisha acherish ikazu." There is another time that there exists such a thing. Heviyoyim is a hefker. So from the fact that the Rishami derives this from the Pasuk, it sounds a little bit that the Pasuk means a Shemitah year, there's a mitzvah that you should declare your crops as ownerless, as hefker. And then any time you want to, the rest of the years, if you want to, you can declare whatever else you want to as hefker as well. So it sounds a little bit from the Chumash that it means that the owner is mafka. And the majority of the Pasuk can say that that's not what it means. It becomes hefker automatically. So Hasina points out this kasha, that if one should insist that the owner has to be mafkarit, then women ought to be part of this mitzvah because it ought to be considered as mangrame. So why does the Mishnah tell us that the fellow stole a basket of figs? Velike the maisa brought an echad, there were five girls and two of them were sisters. Velike taught them, and the fellow collected kalkola shaltainim, a basket full of figs from their field, v'shalahen hoysa, he took the figs from their field. But Rishol Shvi, so it was Shnas HaShmita, so it wasn't considered stealing. And the Pesach was V'yomer, and he said Hari Kulchem Mekudoshes Levi Kalkal Azu, and he gave the whole basket. The Kiblo Achas Mehem Ayilei Kulam. One of the girls was appointed as the shliach for the other four. And they gave the basket of fruits to the one girl and said, "This should be Kesi Kedushin for all five girls." The Yomer Chachamim in the Tanoim Paskin that the two who are sisters and Achayis Mekudoshes, because he's one to be Mekadosh two sisters Bevasachas. So the Mishnah says Hamekadosh Shei Achayis Kachas Hezayin Mekudoshes, and the other three. The Gemara explains Pshat in the Mishnah. The reason why the Kedushin was valid was because it was a Shemitah year. If it wouldn't have been the Shemitah year, it's Mekadosh Begezel Didor. He stole her money and he gives it back. That's not a good Kedushin. So doesn't this indicate that it becomes Hefker automatically? Because if the owner of the field has to be Mafkerit, shouldn't it be a Mitzvah Shazman Rom and the women wouldn't be Mafkerit? So Rav Lezer Shach has a Teretz in his Sefer. Well, he explains that it's not. It's indirect, so it's not called Zman Grom. It has a whole cheshbon like we discussed. That's the case. That's the din in the Mishnah. If a man is Mekadosh two women who are sisters, a mother and a daughter, the Kedushin is not valid. So the Gemara asks, how do you know? We know from other Psukim later in the Mesichta that if I already was Mekadosh one woman, and afterwards I'm Mekadosh her daughter, her mother, her sister, that's an Erevo, that's Chayvi Krisis, and then Kedushin tops. But Menohan Emili, how do you know this din? That if I'm a Kaddish Isha Bita Bavasachas, or Isha Bachoisa Bavasachas, any Mekudoshes, neither of them is an Erva to me. So why not say that they're both Kiddushin should be Chal? I chapta right before either of them became an Erva, so they should both be married to me. Minohan Emili, how do you know that this is so? The first thing more suggests that it's based on a Pasuk. Omer Rami Bachomer, the Omakro, the Pasuk reads, Isha Lachoisa Loi Sikach Litzro. You cannot marry two sisters, Bavasachas. Hatayr Omro. And perhaps this is the Pshat. The simple reading of the Pasuk implies that if I'm married to one girl and I'm a Kaddish to sisters, so the Kedushin are not Chal. But at this, it doesn't say it like that exactly. It says, Isha Lachoisa Lois Sikach, sounds like I'm trying to marry both. I'm attempting to marry both at the same time. And it says, Lois Sikach, that it doesn't take effect. So Rami Bachama suggests, maybe that's the remez in the Pasuk. Hatayr Omro. The Torah is implying, in addition to the simple pshat, that you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister, perhaps the Torah is also alluding to this pshat. B'shor shenas et tzara zu l'zu. If I marry two girls b'vasachas, and each one becomes a tzara, means a co-wife. When a man is married to two wives, each one is called the tzara of the other. So when they become co-wives b'vasachas, lo likuch ma'afila b'achas man. Maybe that's pshat, lo yisikach, that none of the kiddushin is tofs. Maybe that's the remez in the pasuk. So the Gemara says that cannot be that. That's merumas in this pasuk. Amalei Rava. Rava argues with Rami Bacham and he says, "E hachi, if that's the remez that this pasuk is alluding to, Hainu dichsiv. Is that what the pasuk continues to say? That if you do marry isha lachaisa, it says v'nichrusu hanafashas haoisa is mikerav amom. That is a penalty of kareis." And if you're going to tell me ikidushin lo tafsibo, if you're going to tell me that it's referring to a case where I married the two sisters bevasachas and neither becomes mukudeshes to me, the fact the gemara the ikidushin lo tafsibo kores mi mechayiv. How can you have a penalty of kores if it's ain't kidushin tafsibo? So they're both single, so I'm not married to either of them.
Well, the kores is the kores that would be by making the active kidushin or by living with them.
By living with them.
So, that the kores tells me you have kores.
But I wouldn't be chayv koris on either of them if I try to be mekadosh two sisters bevasachas, and neither is mekudeshes to me. Then I can live with both of them. The yisur will be an yisur nus, but it won't be an yisur achay sishtoi. Right, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Yivam is nosim al hu anuso. Baal amafuta means if someone was mezana with a woman, he's permitted to marry her mother, her daughter, or her sister. It's only forbidden to marry the mother, the daughter, or the sister of a woman with whom I was once married. Either I'm still married or I was once married to her. But if the kiddushim were never tovsim with the one, then the relatives are mutaros.
What about two brothers? Are you allowed to have brothers to brothers with two brothers that you can't talk about? And the kiddushim
on one woman.
No, and two brothers.
Two brothers will marry the same woman.
No, it's two different worlds.
But that's okay. Yeah. That's no problem. The Sefer Hasidim has in his Tzavor, Sefer Hasidim, the Rav Yehuda Chassid.
You cannot do that. Two brothers cannot marry a woman because one of them, it's a sister, it's his wife's sister.
Let's say two brothers marry two different girls. So that's no problem. Yeah, that's no problem. The shot is, what if two brothers marry two sisters? Is there anything wrong with that? So in the Sefer Hasidim it says that it's improper. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid writes in his Tzavoe that you shouldn't allow a brother, two brothers to marry two sisters. And it happens all the time. The Gemara says that it's mutter. Shmuel and his brother, who is not so famous, I forgot his name already, he wasn't from the popular Amoraim, they caught him in the Shas once or twice. And then, so the Gemara says that they were married to two sisters, two brothers married two sisters. You have a lot of people, you have two brothers married two sisters.
Actually, what he said,
so some person said that his Tzavoy is only for his descendants, right. And others say that even his descendants didn't follow his Tzavoy.
Do you have to be legal like that if two brothers are married to two sisters?
You wouldn't have chametz. You wouldn't have chametz. Yeah. If one of the brothers dies without children, then the other one is zachos ishtoy, so it's an erva. So there's no need for chalitza yivim at all. In fact, they quote in the history books that the Vaad Arba Rotzes had a meeting and they were discussing in the days of the Marsha and Maram and the Marshal. They had all the big dalim used to run the politics of that little section of Europe, of Poland, and Lithuania. So they were discussing how binding is the Savoyes of Yudah Chosid. So they say that the Mashiach got up and he said that I am a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. That's how the story goes. And Rabbi Yehuda Chosid writes in his Tzavua that none of his descendants should be named neither Shmuel nor Eliezer. Mashiach's name was Shmuel Eliezer. He had both names. So he said, my parents didn't observe the Tzavua, they gave me both names, Shmuel and Eliezer. So he said, not only do other people not have to observe the Tzavua, even the descendants of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid don't have to observe the Tzavua. That's one of the things that he has in the Tzavua, about not to marry a girl with the same name as your mother. So the Paskim discuss whether it's binding or not. Now the Yehuda discuss it's not binding for others, and even for the descendants it's not so binding. But Mikra Adin is perfectly alright. For two brothers to marry two sisters is mut. So Rava argues with Rami Bachami, he doesn't like his source for this din. The Gemara is asking, how do you know that there exists such a halacha that if you mekadesh isha v'achosa, isha bita v'vasachas, so the Kedushin don't take effect at all. The first Rami Bachama suggested it's merumas in the Pasuk. Amalei Rava, how can it be? Ihochi, how does the Pasuk theorize for Nichrusu Hanafoshus Aisois? If the Kedushin are not toxin, chorus me machai. So Rava says no. Elo, my Rava. So Rava says wrong. Kro, the Pasuk that Rami Bachama quoted is referring to a case of Bizeh Hazer. The Pasuk in Chumash refers to the case. So I married one girl, and then afterwards I marry her sister, Bizeh Hazeh, so the Kedushin are not Tofsin with the second girl. But how do you know the din of the Mishnah that Vasahas, the Kedushin is not Tofsin with either? Umas Nisin, the din of the Mishnah is no Mitzad HaSvara. Kide Rabba. As Rabba said, a Svara. The Omar Rabba, Rabba once said in connection with a different din, Kol Shema Bizeh Hazeh, Afilu Vasahasenu. Whenever you have two things, that if you would have done one after the other, so the second one would not take effect. So if you do them simultaneously, neither of them takes effect. That's the logic that Rabbi said. Rabbi claims that it's no mitzara svara. What exactly is the svara of Rabbi?
The first one takes effect.
The first one would have taken effect, just the second one would not take effect. So if I try to get away with the shtick here and I do the both vasachas, so neither is the second, so I declare that they're both the second, that neither is chal. Why is this such a gewaldige svara? Rami Bachama didn't think that it's such a svara. So what is the svara that Rabbi says? Kol shena bezeh hazeh, hafilu bevasach haseh. So there's a famous Tesis Rid from Italy. The Tesis Rid has this Pirush on Shas. So yes, kakasha and this daf, that all of the Achrenim quote this famous kasha. We have a klal, ein iser chal al iser. Let's say I have some food that's treif. Let's say I have some nevela. I have nevela meat. I buy meat in the AP. And then I cook it with milk. So the shaila now is, does it become basa b'chalav or not? So the Gemara says, no, since the meat is already nevela, hey, nisa chala, lisa, the yisa basa b'chalav cannot take effect, cannot set in on top of the yisa nevela. So I say, it's a blight non-nevela, it only remains a piece of nevela, and it's mutabana, it doesn't become basa b'chalav. Shaila l'aloha about dog meat, dog food. They tell me that dog food is cooked with milk. So in Shulchan Aruch, strictly speaking, says that it's mutabana, because since they don't get blood kosher meat to cook for the dog, they take nevela meat. But since they take nevela and they cook it with milk, so the din is that ain't isa chala nisa, then not only doesn't they have an isa basa b'cholav, there's no isa rachila, it's even mutabana. No. That's another unit point, that dogma rov on the side of Simin Pei Zayin, and you're there. That's the klal of ein yisach al nisa. What happens if the two yisurim are going to be chal simultaneously? Bevasacha. So then the Gemara says that you certainly say that that the both yisurim do take effect. What's an example of two yisurim being chal simultaneously? Gemara has lots of examples. Gemara has. Gemara has different examples. Gemara should. One example would be take the following: a boy becomes tamei before bar mitzvah. It's a little complicated case. A boy is not a kohen; he becomes tamei before his bar mitzvah, and then he becomes bar mitzvah. So at the time that he becomes bar mitzvah, he's at the time before his bar mitzvah, he doesn't have any obligation to keep any mitzvahs on a level of the rise. He just has a mitzvah mitam chinuch, mit the rabban, and has to keep all the mitzvahs. When he becomes bar mitzvah, then he's obligated to observe all the Torah mitzvahs. So at the moment that he becomes bar mitzvah, he now has imposed upon him two isurim not to do the same thing. He's not a kohen. So non-kohanim are not permitted to eat truma. Even if he would have been a kohen, he wouldn't be allowed to eat truma because he was tamei. And now that he happens to be both tamei and a zar, so he's forbidden mishnei tamim. He has two averis if he's going to eat truma. Later on, let's say if he will tevel, he will go to the mikveh, become tahor. That'll become tamei a second time. Then we'll say ein isa chal al isa. The isa tume is not chal on top of the isa zar. Since he's not a kohen anyway, he's not allowed to eat any truma. He's not allowed to eat truma because he's not a kohen. So just because he happened to become tamei, he touched the sheretz, let's say, so he becomes tamei. So he say there's another isa now. He's not allowed to eat the truma because he's tamei. Then we'll say ein isa chal al isa. This is an example in the Gemara. But if he became bar mitzvah at the time that he was already tamei, he became tamei
because of mitzvah. I mean, supposing he's a zar, he's tamei, he's not a mitzvah, and he's truma.
How many averes did he do? What's a nafkamina?
It's kares.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
What I mean, that's, and what is a zar? Is the same? Is the same language for both?
Yeah. That's a big example. That case is the same language. Okay. The Gemara has cases where the Gemara has cases where the onshim are different. And how many times malchus would he get? Okay.
Yeah.
If he does it, amazing. How many times malchus would he get?
That's a good number.
If you say onshim, if you say isachal al iser, then you get double malchus because he did two averes. Taisus asks Akasha, why not say Kamla with the Rabbi? And he said, Taisus says, no, there's a Mishnah in the end of Makkos where the Mishnah says there's a Hechetimtza, there's a case where a person plows one field and he gets eight times Malkus for plowing the one field. For Taisus and the Mishnah, why not say, right, why not say Kamla with the Rabbi? And Taisus says, no, Kamla with the Rabbi only applies when there are two different types of onshin, Misa and Malkus, or Misa and Momen, or Malkus and Momen. But if it's Malkus and Malkus and Malkus and Malkus, then you give him all the Malkus. The Mishnah says the fellow plows one piece of field and he gets eight times Malkus. The one act of plowing is a violation of eight averis, and he gets only eight times Malkus. That's the phrase, Kom lebi de rabamina. You give him the rabamina. You give him only the Onish HaChomer when there are different levels of Onsh. But when all the Onshim are the same level, you give him all the Onshim.
What's the issue of
being
divorced
of
his wife?
Did
he marry his sister after he divorced her?
Not until the wife dies. Only when she dies. When she dies.
She's alive, the divorce is never alive.
That's an Issa Deraisa. It's an Issa Kodesh. Yeah, yeah. So here the Taisus really has this famous kasha. We have a klal, Ein Issa Chalal Isur. That once one Issa sets in, another Issa cannot be superimposed on top of it. That's derived from Psukim and Perakol HaBosom. So how come the Gemara has a klal that if the two Isurim are Bevas Achas, both Isurim take effect, set in simultaneously, then we say that Issa is Chalal Issa. Why not say, Kol Sheinu V'zeh HaZeh, Hafila Bevas Achasin. This is the kasha that the Taisus really is. Intuitively, at this, it sounds funny. But what's the answer? Al Pidin, what's the answer?
Isn't it spur though? The Torah doesn't want you to have one sarah against the other sarah.
Mm-hmm.
The first wife is no problem. The Torah doesn't want you to have additional wife, which a sister, which might be a sarah. The result the Torah doesn't want you to have.
Mm-hmm.
You obtain the same result by vasakas. The dealing with the surim, the idea of vasakas and zakazah is not the same thing.
It's difficult. It's an interesting shot, but it wouldn't satisfy all the cases, because the Gemara applies this principle of Rabbah to additional cases. I don't think the Hezbah would apply there. The Gemara has it in the Dorim. Take the following case. A woman is married and she takes a neder. She's not going to eat bread. The husband hears about the neder. He says, that's ridiculous. I'm made for the neder. He says, made for the neder. So, oh, it's neder. No more neder. What happens if the husband hears about the neder? He says, very good, suffer. Kaim lichi. I like that neder, suffer. Don't eat any bread, see if I can. So if he's mekayim the neder, he's mekayim. What happens if the husband is first mekayim the neder? His initial, his instinctive reaction is, he says, he took a neder, stick with it. And then later on, within the same day, he changes his mind and he wants to be made for it. So the mission says he's not allowed to. Once he's mekayim the neder, he cannot be made for the neder. Or let's say first he's made for. First he hears about the neder, and he says, I don't want that neder, I'm made for the neder, it's not valid, this shouldn't have any tokef. And then afterwards he changes his mind, as charat, he says, yeah, let us suffer with the neder. Cannot. Once he's mefer, he cannot be mekayim. Once he's mekayim, he cannot be mekayim.
The 24-hour period.
Right. He cannot make hakoma or hafara after the day is up. Machlok is one time is of the opinion that it's 24 hours, meyes leis. And we paskin like the Mishnah against that opinion. We paskin that it's only up until shkia of that day. Let's say a woman took a neder at 7 o'clock in the afternoon and the shkia is 8:15. So the husband can only be made for a mekayim up until shkia, up until 8:15. That's how we pass. So the Gemara has in the Dharma, Daf Samach Tes, the Gemara has this awkward case. The wife takes a neder, and the husband is Ashtikla Tzidreit, so he says, Kayim lichi yimufu lichi bevasachas. I make a hakoma, I declare a hakoma and a hafora bevasachas. Neither the hakoma nor the hafora should be valid unless the other one is also to take effect. Neither should take effect without being accompanied by the other. What in the world does he mean by that? We don't know. But Azai take his own. So what's the din? So what's the din? So the Gemara quotes Rabbi. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi. Kol shene b'zeh hazeh. Afila b'vasach haseinu. That if he would have made hakama first, the hafora wouldn't take effect. If he would have made hafora first, the hakama wouldn't take effect. So therefore the Gemara says that neither is chal. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. Therefore neither is chal. So the pashta says he didn't say anything. And the neder remains. That's the pashta pshat in the Gemara.
It doesn't mean automatic
case,
but that doesn't mean automatic where the one
was
coming and something else happened,
then
It doesn't have to be like that.
No, you have all kinds of cases of Isa Basach.
Doesn't mean
it means. Right. The Rambam Grada, not Gemara, doesn't pass like that. The Rambam passes by that case in Hilchos Nedarim. If the wife took a neder and the husband finds out about it and he says, I declare that it should be Mekuyam and Mufar, and I want them both to take effect, my hakama and my hafara should take effect simultaneously, and neither should take effect unless the other one takes effect. Neither the hakama nor the hafara should take effect. So the Rambam paskins that the hakama takes effect and the hafara does not take effect. So the Ran, in his commentary on the Dharma, on the side of the Gemara and the Dharma, have the Ran. So the Ran quotes the Rambam, says he doesn't understand, how can it be? The Gemara quotes Rabbi, Kol she'en ezech hazaf, yidu b'vasach haseinu. So you can neither have Hakama following Hafora, nor Hafora following Hakama. So you ought to declare that both are not affected. Both should not be Chal. So how does the Rambam say that the Hakama is Chal?
What case?
In this case, the wife took a neder, and the husband says, I'm both Mekayim the neder and Mefer the neder, and I want the Hakama and the Hafora to be Chal simultaneously, and neither should take effect without the being accompanied with the other. Neither the Hakama nor the Hafora should take effect without the other one. So the Gemara replies, the Gemara says, what's the din? Mean when the day ends, But let's say he makes his declaration, she took the net at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then he finds out about 11 o'clock, and he makes this declaration. Then later on he realizes, what kind of a stupid thing did I say? Let me be made for the netter. So the Rambam paskens has already been mekuyim. This crazy declaration is declared as a hakoma. How can it be a hakoma? But the Gemara said, "Kol shene b'zeh haseh, afilu b'vasach haseinu."
Yeah, but
Torah gives a special din that a father can be made for his daughter's nedarim, and a husband can be made for his wife's nedarim. Right, special gzeres hakosev. The father cannot be made for his son's nedarim. Only the daughter's nedarim or the husband can be made for the wife's nedarim. The Gemara asks, what kind of business is that? It's not fair. What right does he have? So the Gemara says, we assume, that Pinchos explains Pshat in the Chumash, we assume that Kol HaNederes, Aldaz Baila HiNederes, that any normal woman, when she takes a neder, she has in mind that it should be contingent on the husband's acceptance, and if he doesn't want it, it should be bottled. Either Rishonim ask, what if she doesn't hold from her husband? What if she's very independent? And she says, I want to make a neder even if my husband doesn't like it? So the Rishani say that that's Batla Daita Itzaldas Kol B'Niyara, that all normal women want to be kafaf to their husbands with respect to the Nidor. And if this... That's the question, why not?
That a woman cannot make a neder on the wrong.
Yes.
The Shemay said, it always depends upon the husband. More women can't say, well, I'm independent. Because if it's a basic principle, you put that. A woman cannot make an
error. That's why you're wording the principle that the woman's nedarim can be broken by the husband. That's why we would have said. That's why it sounds nechumish, but the Gemara reinterprets the process. The Gemara says, not a din the husband is the balabas over her nedarim. No! It's because when she took the neder, it's understood that that's what she had in mind. So the Gemara is reinterpreting the pasuk. If not for that Gemara, we would have said the pasuk says the husband is a boss on the wife's neder, to break it, to make it or to break it. That's all. Don't ask any questions. The Gemara reinterprets the pasuk. So then the Rishonim ask, if the Gemara is explaining that the reason why is because she took the neder al daitai, the wife she says she doesn't want to take it al daitai. So they give this difficult answer, but it's bakla daitai. It's a problem.
Is it worth saying it's a lundana or is it each one a kid? If it's a lundana, it's a lundana.
It's a difficult one. So the question is, how does the Rambam understand? The Rambam says in that case, when the husband says, he makes such a strange declaration, he declares her neder, the wife's neder, to be both mekuyam and mufa b'vasachas.
You know, by the strange lashon, just like the Zohar, it's sort of like going into a prayer that whatever, because the outcome can't be, so whatever he's saying is as if it doesn't exist, or that it shouldn't be
followed. Right, so it should be nothing. So we should cross out everything that he said.
If she made a neder and he says nothing, by nightfall, is the neder followed?
Before.
By nightfall, right. But what if he makes such a declaration, and then later on he realizes that that's nonsense, and he says, I'm made for the neder. So the Rambam says he cannot be made for the neder. This strange declaration is equivalent to hakamah. So the Ran disagrees with the Rambam. The Ran says no, but the Gemara asks, what's the din in this case? And the Gemara answers, ki de rabo, the Omar rabbi, kol shein of zeh hazeh. Hafilo bevasach hazeh. So that means that neither the Hakoma nor the Hafor is chal. How does the Rambam say that the Hakoma is chal? That's what the Ran asks on the Rambam. So Rab Chaim has a famous shiur that he said in Valozhin, that he has in a sefer, and the Talmidim who learned in Valozhin quoted over the name of Rab Chaim a gewaldige shiur. He gave pshat in this din. And that's exactly what the Tosfos really answers on this Gemara, on this Din. Why don't you say by Ein Isser Chalal Isser, if it's B'zeh Hazeh, so whichever Isser comes second doesn't take effect. So what if they both Yisum Achal B'Vasacha? So you should say that neither takes effect. The Din is not true that they both take effect. Why? So the Tosfos read says, came out in the same words, but Rab Chaim has this famous shir that he has in his sefer. That this principle of Kol Sheina B'zeh Hazeh means the following. If Al Pidin, if I'm a Kaddish, a girl, now I'm a Mekaddish, her sister, or her mother, or her daughter, so the Torah declares that you cannot be Mekaddish the Yerba. That's a halacha. You cannot be Mekaddish the Yerba. So if I want to be Mekaddish both with Asachas, so then Rabbi says this Torah that this is considered a Tarta de Sasri and Das. It's like he said before, like a person is saying nonsense. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. So Rabbi says, whenever the Das on A contradicts the Das on B, and the Das on B contradicts the Das on A, you cannot have Das for two things at the same time because by the nature of the contradictory. So then I say that Afila Bavasacha saying, but whenever there's no need for the Das Adam, that's what the Tesis Reed points out over here. Whenever there's no need for the Das Adam, as for example, Isurim Machal, the kid becomes Bar Mitzvah, so he becomes Muzra, and all these Isurim in the Torah. The boy becomes Talmiyah, the person becomes Talmiyah, he becomes forbidden, he gets an Isser, that he's not permitted to eat Truma, he's not permitted to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash if he's Talmiyah, whatever. All these Isserim that are Chal in the Torah, most of the Isserim are Chal automatically. They're not Chal because the person creates an Isser. Here it happens to be that Kiddushin is created Midas HaAdam. Chos and Kala have to have Das for the Kiddushin. But normally when you have an Isser is Chal, so an Isser is Chal Me'elo. So whenever the Isserim are Chal Me'aleim, then the place is really answers, you can't apply the Klal of Kol Sheina B'zeh HaZeh. Afila Bavasah saying that the klal does not mean that whenever two things happen simultaneously, you consider it as if it happened in the worst possible order. That's not what it means. You don't consider it as if it happened in the worst possible order. That doesn't make any sense at all. You would have to have quite a Gzeres HaKosef to say that, if that's what it meant, Kol Sheina B'zeh HaZeh. He doesn't have any pasuk. Rabbi says it's a svara. So what does the svara mean? That if two expressions of das each contradict each other, so then he didn't express any das at all? That's the word, that's what Rabbi says. So that's why it has no application at all to Eini Sechal Alisa Bevasachas, because by the Yisurim they're Chal automatically, you don't need Das Adam. And that's what Rab Chaim explains in the Rambam as well. what's the halacha? Rabbi Chaim explains, what's the halacha if the wife took a neder and the husband was first made for the neder? Made for the neder means he wipes it off. Before he knocks off the neder, the kanalambo. And then an hour later he decides, no, he wants to resurrect the neder. He wants to make a hakome. So he can't make a hakome. What if he first makes a hakome? First he says that the neder is mekuyam, and then he wants to make a hafar. Can't do that either. But Rabbi Chaim explains there's a big difference between the two. If he first makes a hafar, he already undid the neder, then he cannot do a hakome. Why not? That's a pi'a aloche. That's a pi'a aloche. There's no neder. There's no neder left to be mekuyam. He already was made for the neder, it's all wiped off. We can't allow both. There is no neder. The din is, let's say, if the wife took the neder at 10 in the morning, the husband was made for 5 in the afternoon, said Nikana Lahaba as of 5 o'clock on it's mufa. It's not mufa mila mafreya. When a chacham makes hatoras nedarim, so then the Gemara says in Ksuba that he's aikra neder meikoro, and he declares the neder as a neder toras. It comes out there never was a neder. As of 10 o'clock in the morning, there never neder existed because a neder meikoro was a neder betoras. But when the baal is made for the neder, or the father of his daughter is made for the neder. So the Gemara says Mefer is only Mikana Lahabo. It's not
the
Kana Lahabo.
You're saying that the wife is hung up on Das Abal.
It's more of a difficulty.
If it comes out that the Das Abal was to be made for the nether, then the nether wasn't how to begin with.
Right, the Rishonim asked that Kasha. It's a good Kasha. So they say the wife wants the nether of Das Abal. If he doesn't want it, so she no longer wants it either.
Shveret din,
that Rav Pinchas, nobody really understands. Rav Pinchas says that the reason why the Torah gives the father, the husband, the right to be made in the Nadarim is because she had that in mind in the very beginning. It doesn't really explain too much.
That's what he's saying.
No, let's say he finds out a day later. So he only breaks the net in the Kana Lahabo. And up until then, it was a good net. You have a lot of the Nadarim that you can't break. Let's say a woman says, Harini Noza for one day. The din is you can't have mezuzahs for less than 30 days. So if the woman says she wants to be a nozer for 30 days and the husband finds out 2 days later, he says, nothing doing, mufalichi. So the halacha declares she was a nozer for 2 days, up until the time he found out. Then the kanal habo, it's broken, so the question is, that's impossible. This time doesn't make any sense. How can it be? It can't even be a kabbal mezuzahs for 2 days. Either it's not chal at all, or it's chal for 30 days. There is no mezuzahs for less than 30 days. That's the halacha, it's a shver din in there, how the hafara works.
And then there can be made for 2 days later?
The first day that he hears about it.
Oh,
the Yom Shana. The husband can only be made. The husband or the father can only be made for on the day that he hears about it.
Even a few days past
mine? Yeah, even if it's a year later.
I wonder if the wife wants to change her mind before
she has to go to a bed and have a Hataras Nadar. She can do that independently of the husband. She can make a Hataras Nadar.
What if she goes to the
husband? Yeah, yeah.
What if she
gets the husband's permission?
This is just a shayla, the following shayla that you raised. What if the husband hears about the neder and he says, I'm a kayim the neder?
She goes to.
What if the husband hears about his wife's neder and he says, I declare I'm a kayim the neder, I'm happy about it? Can the wife or the daughter be made for a neder after the husband was mekayim? When the husband makes a hakoma, does that somehow strengthen the neder? And then he strengthened the neder. So in order to break the neder, you need that she should make a hatoras nedarim on her neder, and he has to make a hatorah on his hakoma also. How do you say no? Hakoma just means that he has canceled his ability to make hafara, but he doesn't strengthen the neder. That's a big machloikis. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin lechumra. The Ramon Yerodeh paskins lechumra that if the husband was mekayim the wife's neder, so the wife can no longer be mata the neder in a bezna unless the husband goes to a bezna also. He makes a hataras nedarim on his hakome, and then she can make. Then it reverts back to a plain old neder, and then she can make a hataras nedarim on her plain old neder. Because now the husband made a hakome, so the wife cannot make a hataras nedarim by a bezdin without breaking his hakome.
So the Rambam
distinguishes between hakome following hafara as opposed to hafara following hakome. So Rav Chaim is quoted by the Talmidim, and he has in his Sefer also, but the Talmidim write it over better than it's explained in the Sefer. They say as follows, when the husband first made a hafara, let's say 9 o'clock in the morning, the husband heard the neder, and he declares, Mufalichi, I don't like that neder, I want to break it. And then later on in the afternoon, he changes his mind, he wants to make a hakoma. There's nothing to make a hakoma on, the neder doesn't exist anymore. The Baal, when he's made for, is not Eikara Neder Meikara, like a Bezin makes a Hatara, so Eikara Meikara. But the Baal is Chacha Eikara Mikana Lahabo. He found out about the Neder 9 in the morning and he declares that it's Mufalichi. I declare the Neder as being Mufar undone. So the Neder is undone from that minute on. The Neder no longer exists. So the fact that the husband or the father cannot make a Hakoma following a Hafara That's not a gzeris hakosuv that you need a pasuk. That's a pasuk to svara. Once he made a hafara, there's no longer any neder to speak of. There's no longer to speak. No longer any neder. So of course he can't make any hakom. The reverse order, however, is already a din. That once the father or the husband made a hakama, and he wants to be mefer, so what's wrong? Why can't he be mefer? So he made a hakama. So why can't he be mefer? So that's already a gzeris hakosuv. That's a din. That once the husband or the father who has the right either to choose to make a hafara or hakama, once he exercises his rights and privileges and he declares that he's mekayim the neder, he's satisfied with it, he wants it to remain, then the halacha says that he cannot make a hafara later on, even when there is what to be mefer. Faket is a big fat neder. He was mekayim the neder. Why can't he be mefer? That's a gzeris hakosuv.
Either means he's withdrawing his rights, right?
Either means he's withdrawing his rights or he's strengthening. Okay, that's the din. That's what the Chumash says. The Chumash has a din that if the father or the husband at first mekayim the neder, and then he's made for it, even though there is a neder left to be made for, the fact that he made the hakama takes away his ability to be mekayim, to be made for the
neder. The girl was 12 years old one day. She has the power to make a neder, doesn't she?
Yeah, yes.
But her father has no power then after that.
Till 12 and a half, the father can break the neder.
And then after 12 and a half, she's on her own.
Then she's on her own.
Until she gets married. And then after she gets married, then she's again the husband's.
Right.
Now, is that so strong? Are we saying that the husband is right to break his wife's neder supersedes her own power to make her own neder?
No, she can make her own neder. Then after he makes, after
but
she makes the neder.
He has to be because she makes it on the smoke that he on something that I've done.
Then the husband or the father.
Saying that that's more powerful than the power that she's given herself as being Gedolah.
She has the power to make a dorm. The husband has a limited power to break certain dorm, not every neder. The Chumash only...
So she wants to get to dorm.
That he can't break that neder.
I can't break that neder.
No. He can only break the dorm that a inui nefesh, or beinol that beinol, that interfere in their marriage.
Oh,
she takes a neder. She's not going to live with the husband anymore. Okay. What kind of business? So she takes a neder not to eat bananas, not to eat oranges. Inui nefesh to suffer, that she will suffer, or something that's beinol beinol, that affects her married life with her husband. So the Torah gives the husband the authority to break those in dorm. Doesn't mean stam any neder. She takes a neder not to go to the shul anymore. She's not going to daven in that shul anymore. So he has no right to be made for that neder. If he doesn't like it, he should convince her to go to a bezin and get a hataras in dorm. But he has no authority over such in dorm. So Ab Chaim, yeah. Isn't the hate? She can observe it if she wants to, but it doesn't mean anything.
No, but maybe
the neder is broken. Let's say she took a neder not to eat ice cream. She's going on a diet. And he wants to eat ice cream. He's afraid she's not going to eat, so she'll never buy, so he won't have what to eat. So he's made for her neder. So he just declared she's allowed to eat ice cream. So even if she wants to observe it, isn't the hate? Go on the diet, don't eat ice cream. But legally speaking, the neder is not binding on her anymore. If she'll eat ice cream, she won't get any malchus. If they'll catch her eating ice cream, they'll warn her. She won't get any malchus because there's no aveira. The neder was broken already by the husband.
She doesn't eat ice cream
yet. She can abstain from eating ice cream without a neder also.
Right,
but the neder is no longer binding halachically.
When you go back to the hesper, then in the case of the Rambam's hesper, why in the case of the Mishnah when you had H5 that the other three more sections, if you have complete disaster when you can punish the sisters, then all the people.
We consider it a taita desasri for two sisters or a mother and a daughter, because if he would have married one first, then the halacha says that he's unable to be mekadesh the other one. The halacha says that it's an issur to be mekadesh the sister, or it's an issur to be mekadesh the daughter. So five of asachas, so two of them constitute a taita desasri.
Right. Maybe you can make the argument that
the Gemara raises that possibility later. That's a different issue. Let's say for the Gemara raises as a general topic, whenever a person expresses das on a lot of things together, and then part of his das turns out to be batlam of lupin, do you accept the part of the das that is acceptable? For example, let's say a person is a mashgiach in a restaurant or in a supermarket. Let's say he's mafish trumas amaisus. And he's mafrish vegetables or truma, mice, or whatever, and everything else. And it turns out that some of the stuff that he was mafrish is utterly rotten, and it's nifsal me'achilas adam, and the truma and the mice is not just not chal. So would you say that none of the stuff, he said, this whole bushel should be truma and all the other bushels in the room. Let's say it's 1 out of 50 bushels. It's supposed to give 1 out of 50 for truma. So this bushel should become truma for everything. And half of this bushel happens to be rotten. So the half that's rotten is just not chap. If it's not edible, it's not fit for human consumption, it doesn't become truma. Would you say that the other half is also not chap? So the Gemara raises that question. Whenever you have das on a lot of things, one expression of das on a lot of things, and part of the das just cannot take effect, you say that the rest of the das also doesn't take effect. Or the Gemara has another case. The Gemara calls this topic that you brought up, he's Mekadosh 5 women, and it turns out the Kedushin is not valid on 2 of them, and yet the Mishnah says that the other 3 women are married to him. So the Gemara calls this Kni At V'chamor. Things like this. Let's say I have a lot of money, and I love animals, and I like you. I like one human being and all the animals. So let's say we make a Kabbalah Kinyan. So if I like 2 people, you and another person, and you give me a Kinyan suitor, you give me a handkerchief to be Kaina Matana, and I want to obligate myself, or I want to give you over ownership to you and to the other person. So you're Kaina, the other person is Kaina. Zach Liyadim Shleib Lefonov. You made the Kinyan on behalf of yourself and on behalf of the other person. You're both Kaina equally. What if I say I only like you and that behemoth in the street? I say Kni At V'chamor. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Gemara has in Balabasra, a case, Halacha L'mais. We have a lot of times people make rules like that, no? They leave money to their dogs. So, Api Halacha, animals cannot possess any property. There is no such thing as leaving money to the dogs. The will is Batlum Mevutl, and Halacha says, whoever the closest relatives are, they get the money. So, the Gemara has the following shayla. What if I say, B'nishim Achas, you give me a suitor, in exchange for which I makna all of my property to you and to a specific animal. So the animal is certainly not kainim. There's no suffix about that. The shayla is, are you kainim? Because I had one statement, one expression of the whole das for a big kinyan that I should give $1,000, half to you, half to the chamor, and half to the chamor is out of the question. He definitely doesn't get it. So do you get the half that you're supposed to get? So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. We pass from Halacha that you do. Kinyat b'chamor is kona machza. You get your half. Just the shayla, but you only get $500 or you get the full $1,000. Maybe since the chamor gets nothing, maybe you should get all. So that's a detailed shayla in umdina. What did he have in mind? But the basic shayla the Gemara has is whether you get anything. Maybe since the chamor doesn't get, so maybe you don't get anything either. Maybe it's halacha like batla mitzvah, batla kula, so to speak. Whenever there's a das that's expressed on a group of things and several things together, and one of them cannot take effect, maybe nothing will take effect. So we pass on halacha that is not so, that the part that cannot take effect is not chal, and the part that can take effect is chal. That's what the Gemara comments on our Mishnah, the Gemara quotes it. That from our Mishnah you see the fact that the 2 sisters are amukudoshes, and the other 3 women are amukudoshes to the chasen. That's a clear indication that kni at v'chamor is kona machza, that whatever can take effect does take effect, even though half of what he wanted cannot take effect. That's how the Gemara comments. But getting back to this Rambam, we didn't explain yet. Rav Chaim explains on the Rambam. And Bemis, that's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. If you read the Gemara after you see Rav Chaim, you see the Gemara says like that. Rav Chaim explains the same as the Tosfos Shrid. The only halacha that kol she'ein b'zerach hazeh afilu b'vasach haseinu, that din only means when you need das for this maisa, you need das for that maisa. And this das contradicts that das. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. So it's tied to the sasri. So there's no das. Each das contradicts the other. What kind of a halacha is it over here by the hakoma with the hafori? If the husband first makes a hakoma on the wife's neder, and then he wants to make a hafori afterwards, so then if there is a neder there, he made a hakoma on the neder, he wants to make a hafori, there is a neder to make a hafori on. But that's a halacha that says, we don't allow the husband, al-pidin, we don't allow him to make a hafori after a hakoma. What about in the reverse order though? If the husband will first make a hafori, and then he would make a hakoma. So that's not a din, it's not a halacha that once the husband made a hafora, the halacha doesn't, the Torah doesn't allow him to make a hakoma. Once he made a hafora, the neder doesn't exist anymore. It disappeared into thin air. So if there's no neder, of course there's nothing left to make a hakoma on. So Rav Chaim explained that the only time you apply this principle is if it's a halacha of a tie to the sasriyim das. When the one das expressed on one contradicts the other das, and therefore they cancel each other out. So that's only true in the one case when you want to have a hafora following the hakoma. So that's a contradiction. Once you had a das on a hakoma, you can't have a das on a hafora. The halacha says once you had a hakoma, you can't have a hafora. But in the opposite order, if once you had a hafora, you can't have a hakoma. That's not a halacha of type of the sasrin das. That's because there's no neder to speak of. But there's only no neder to speak of if it came b'zeh hazeh. And first came the Hafara, and then you paused, and then came the Hakama. So then you can't have any Hakama. There's nothing to have Hakama on. But if it comes with Vasachas, the Neder is still here. Then I say the Hakama is Chal. The Das on the Hafara doesn't cancel out the Das on the Hakama. Hafara is a Metzias. Once you make a Hafara, then there's no Neder to make a Hakama on. That's a Dovish of Metzias. So the Metzias only poses a problem when it's presented Bezer Hazer. He wants both to be Chal together. He wants both to be Chal together. So we say they can't both be Chal together. So which one do you say takes effect? So the one that contradicts the other knocks it out. The one that doesn't contradict the other, the one that doesn't pose a type of disaster to the Das on the other.
Regardless of the fact that which way works faster than
but that, if you look through all the Gemaras, you'll see that that's the klal. That's the klal, the way Rav Chaim explains it. You can tie it against the Rambam, is still shreya. The Rambam is not in Gans Meyusha, but the klal that explains this Rambam, even if the Rambam is not so Eisgehalten, the klal is what the Gemara means. That's clearly what Rabbi means. There's a famous comment that Rashash has in Yumen, Ashrab Kasha, and then he says, V'yesh l'taritz, and it doesn't tell you what the teretz is. The Mishnah says in Yumen that... Mishnah lists off different people who did wonderful things, and then it says Zecher Tzadik Levracha. They should all go down in history for all the good and Meisim Tovim that they did. And then the pasuk continues Rishem Rishayim Yirkav, that all the bad people who did evil things, they should go down in history as terrible people. So the Mishnah lists off some of the terrible people. One of them was, there was a Sefer who knew how to do a kunz. He could hold four pens in between the four cracks of his four fingers, and he could write four letters at the same time, and didn't want to teach anybody else how to do this stunt. So he went down in history, his name is mentioned in the Mishnah Yuma as a terrible person. Why he didn't want to teach everybody else this kunz? So the Mephoshim asked, what was the big deal? Someone knows how to stand on his head, they know do crazy things, so what's the gedula? That he knows how to write four letters at the same time. So the Mephoshim all explain that when you write a Sefer Torah, you write Yudkei Vavkei. So when you write Yudkei, that's already a Shem Hashem. Ki b'ko Hashem Tzura Lo? Ko is a Shem Hashem. So when you write Yudkei, then you write Vav. So it looks a little bit like Mechikas Hashem. You used to have Yudkei, then you write the Vav, so it's a Pchina Mechikas Hashem. So it would be better if you could write all four Bavasachas Yudkei Vavkei. See, that's what he was able to do. The Gemara doesn't say what four letters he could write at the same time. So Mephoshim claimed it must be that those are the four letters. He knew how to do this kunz, and everybody else wanted to know how to do that, to write Yudkei Vavkei Bavasachas to avoid the problem of Mechikas Hashem. That it really isn't Mechikas Hashem. Chikas Hashem only applies when you erase what you have written already. But it's a p'chine... So that's what the Rashash asks Akasha. We have a din that in Tefillin and Mezuzah, when we learned last year tomorrow, Tefillin and Mezuzah must be written Kisidron. You have to write every letter in order. First the first letter, then the second letter, then the third letter. And if you have a toys in the Tefillin and Mezuzah, it can't be corrected. Unless you can erase everything from the end and then rewrite it. Let's say you have a mistake in the very beginning, so you can't correct Tefillin and Mezuzah. In a Sefer Torah, however, there's no need for Kisidron, except for the Pesachei Tshuva quotes in Yerodeya, the Shemus. Shemus Hashem, Shem Yudkei Vavkei in the Sefer Torah, does have to have Kisidron. If you write the Shemus Shalei Kisidron, then there's an opinion of Rishonim, and Mordechai says that Rashi holds like that, that you need Kisidron for the Shemus in the Sefer Torah as well. So the Rashash and Yumeh Frek Takash, if this is the pshat in this Mishnah, that this fellow knew how to write Yudkei Vavkei Bevasachas, so Frek Tafani Kasha. He says he knows there's a teretz, but he doesn't know exactly what the teretz is. Spekta kasha, why not say kol shein v'zeh hazeh? I feel about Asacha saying, if he would have written the shein backwards, first the last tay, then the vav, then the first tay, then the yud, he would have written it backwards, it would be puzzle, v'zeh hazeh. So now that he writes all four letters with Asachas, why not declare that also as a psul of Shalei Kisidron? So he says there's a teretz, but he doesn't know exactly how to formulate. So the answer to the kasha is that the kasha is based on a misunderstanding. The kasha is based on the misunderstanding that Rabbis Klal Kol Shein V'Zeh Hazeh Afil V'Vasach Haseinu means that whenever you do things simultaneously, you consider it as if it had been done in the worst possible order. The answer is that that's not what it means at all. What does it mean? It's Halach of Tarta de Sasri and Das. When you need Das for one thing, you need Das for another thing. So the Das for the one contradicts the Das on the other, and the Das for the one contradicts the Das on the other. And you have Das for both of the Vasachas, and each Das cancels out the other Das, and we're blyped on our Das, as if he had said nothing. Like the case before, he says, Kain Lichi Mufa Lichi. So they contradict each other, so there's no das, the Parsha Pshat and the Gemara. When the two dasen contradict, but whenever there's no need for das at all, like Siva Shemus in the Sefer Torah, there's not a lot of das there. It's a lot, it has to be Kisidron, if you do Shalei Kisidron, apostles. So here, this is not considered Shalei Kisidron. To write all four letters of Vasar, it's not considered Shalei Kisidron. Has no application at all to Rabbi's
Shmo, Shmo is not considered
No. Lishmo is not called out. What's Allah? He can't have Lishmo for the first yud before he had Lishmo for the last hey. Not Allah of Lishmo. That's Allah. That's the way. He's supposed to write it, Kisidra. So if he wrote it all by Vasachas, it happened by Vasachas, didn't write Shalai Kisidra. That would be kosh. That's the Allah of Kalshena Bizah Hazeh is limited dafka to such situations where you need das. So if you didn't fully explain this then, you have to explain it a little further. Let's say I walk over to a lamppost and I give a ring, I put a ring on the lamppost, I say, Hariat Mekudeshesli. So the Kedushin are not Tosin. I go over to a man, I say, Hariat Mekudeshesli, it's not Chai. You can only be Mekadesh, a single woman who is not a Nerva. What if I go over to my mother or an Eish Ish? I go to your wife, I give a ring, I say, Hariat Mekudeshesli, it's not Chai. Why not? So I'll be Pashtus, you would have maybe said that Pashtus is like that. Enki Tushin Tavsin Barayis, that if the woman is a Nerva, she's already an Eish Ish, or it's my mother, my sister, my daughter. So it's like a Shtikholz, it's like a Shtender. It's like giving a ring to the lamppost in the street. It's not a Gabra Bar Hochi of Tvisis Kedushin. Kedushin are not Chal in an Erevo. You see from the Gemara that that's not the Pshat, because if that were the case, so then if I would marry one first, if I would have married one girl, then I give a ring to her sister or her mother. The reason why it wouldn't be Chal is because Ashtik holds, because then Kedushin Tavs in an Erevo. So then if I give both Bavasachas, so why should you... The halacha that Kedushin isn't Chal on the second one, it's not because of a tarta de sasri and das, it's because there's an erva. An erva, the kedushin are not tosin, but if I'm a kaddish both of asachas, nobody's an erva yet. So why shouldn't both kedushins be chal? So you see from this gemara, what you see from several other gemaras as well. The gemara in Tmura also implies like that, beferish. But the reason, the nature of the din of any kedushin, tosin by rayas, is because the Yovid loy mahani. That's how we started off before. The gemara has a discussion there, the debate between Abai and Rovir, a milsa damar achmona loy sabit, if the Torah forbids me from doing a certain act, and I go ahead and I do it, can my maise done by avera, can that create a chaloi sana? So the Gemara says, and what's the story in Kiddushin? It's the contradiction. On the one hand, the Kohen marries a grusha, he did an avera, so it says the Kiddushin is chal. So it sounds like a yovid mahani. Even though you go ahead and you do something be yisir, it does take effect, it is chal. On the other hand, if a man is mekadesh and eish ish, we say the Kiddushin don't take effect at all. Yovid loy mahani. So which is the din? Is it a Yavid Mahani or is it a Yavid Mahani? So the Gemara says, because the Yavid Lai Mahani, the Pasuk tells me here, everybody holds the Yavid Lai Mahani. Because you did an Aveir and the Torah doesn't allow you, doesn't give you the right to have Das, to be Mekadosh and Erevo. That's the Pshat, that's clear from the Gemara. That's why the Gemara applies the Klal of Rabbe to this case of Kiddushi Arayis. If I would have been Mekadosh my wife first, and then a year later I'm Mekadosh my wife's sister, the halacha would be that the Kiddushin are not Tovsin because of Yovid Lai Mahani, because I had no right to express Das to have Kiddushin on my sister-in-law. And if I have Das on my sister-in-law, the Torah doesn't give me the right to have that Das, the Yovid Lai Mahani. So if I'm Mekadosh both sisters, Bavas, because the Yovid Loi Mahani, the Pasuk tells me here, everybody holds the Yovid Loi Mahani, because he did an Aveira, the Torah doesn't allow you, doesn't give you the right to have Das, to be Mekadosh and Erevo. That's the Pshat, that's clear from the Gemara. That's why the Gemara applies the Klal of Rabbah to this case of Kiddushei Arayis. If I would have been Mekadosh my wife first, and then a year later I'm Mekadosh my wife's sister, the halacha would be that the Kiddushin are not tovsim because of Yovid Loi Mahani, because I had no right to express Das to have Kiddushin on my sister-in-law. And if I have Das on my sister-in-law, the Torah doesn't give me the right to have that Das, the Yovid Loi Mahani. So if I Mekadosh both sisters Bevasa Achas, so the Das Kiddushin on the one contradicts the Das Kiddushin on the other. Das Kiddushin on the second contradicts the first. It's not because an Erev is a lav bar hachi of Tfisis Kiddushin. Then you wouldn't apply the Klal of Rabbah to Kiddushin. You wouldn't say Kol Shein B'Zeh Chazeh. You see from this Gemara also like that, that the halacha, the Rein Kiddushin, Tavsim Ba'arai is because you have no right to have Das to be Mekadosh in Erev. It's a stira in the Das. That's why the Gemara considers it a stira in the Das. That's what you see from this Gemara. Then the Gemara continues to have kashas. So the Gemara asks kashas from cases where you see that things achal bevasachas, even if they would have been done bezechazed, they would not have taken effect. So the Gemara answers them all off. All the kashas are answered exactly the way Rab Chaim explained. That's how the later Mefoshim point out. Take for example, the Gemara asks by Maisa Behema on the fifth line from the top of Nun Aleph Min Aleph. Bahare Maisa Behema. You can't have bezeh hazeh. Let's say farmer has 10 animals of one, so he counts 1, 2, 3, they're going through the corral, then he says 8, 9, 10. This one is Maisa Behem. After he declares this one is Maisa Behem, then he declares on the 11th one, this one should also be Maisa Behem. Zeyna bezeh hazeh, it can't be chal. And yet the halacha is...
No, it's not chal.
Maisa Behem, you cannot give benedu in a
girl.
You can volunteer a korban shlamim if you want, but it won't be called a Maisa Behem. It won't be called a korban Maisa Behem. So what happens if he counts 8, 9, and as he's saying 10, two animals squeeze out the vasach? So the din is that they both have a din of Maisa Behem. It says, Yotzu Shnayim Basiri, two animals came out together, the Quran, Asiri, and it declares this should be Maisa Behem. So the din is, Asiri Bacharasar, Murav Mzebozeh, the din is that one of the two is Maisa Behem and the other one is not. So the Gemara asks, but if he would have first, the 10th one would have come out, and afterwards the 11th one would have come out. Bezeh hazeh, the second one would not be chal. So now that they both came together, why not say that nothing is chal? If it would have been bezeh hazeh, nothing would be chal on the second one, so consider them both like the second one. So the Gemara says, no, you don't need das over here. And for the Gemara, the din is, let's say the farmer says 8, 9, and then the farmer drops dead, and the 10th one goes out by itself. The din is that the 10th one is kodesh me'elo. The Gemara says in the end of Kodesh, hasir me'elo v'kodesh. That's what the Gemara says here. Shiny, Maisa Behema on the second white line. Maisa Behema is different. You don't need Das Adam for that. The Isay Betois, even if he made a mistake, the Maisa Behema is Chal. That shows you don't need my Das to create the Maisa Behema. Maisa Behema is Chal automatically. You need my Das that I should count. It's not going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who's going to count it? You have to have a farmer in charge of the counting. But once someone's counting, then the Kedushas Maisa Behema is Chal automatically. So the Gemara says, whenever it's something that's Chal Me'elov and you don't need Das Adam, then the whole klal of rabbi doesn't apply. That's exactly what the Tosfos Rit says. That ain't isa chal aliser, but if it's an isa basachas and they're both chal, why? Because you can't apply the klal kol shena bezeh hazeh. Afilu b'basachas ain't and neither is chal. No, isura machal without das adam. The aloch of rabbi kol shena bezeh hazeh only applies when you need das adam to create the chalos. So if they can't take effect bezeh hazeh, it's considered a tart to the sasri and das, so then neither is chal. That's what the Gemara answers here. You don't need das adam. But Maisa Behem is Chal without Das. Shiny Maisa. The Isa Bittoris. The Maisa Behem is Chal even if the person made a mistake. As long as he's counting, he doesn't have to have a mind to create the Kedushas Maisa Behem. And the same thing the Gemara said before by Maisa Peris. The Gemara quotes it in. The halacha is that Truma has no shear. I have bushels and bushels of grain, apples, oranges, whatever, potatoes. So L'chatchili you give 1 out of 50. But that's Midr Rabbanon. But there is no shear in Atar. You can give more, you can give less. You can even give, the Gemara says, chita achas, give one tiny speck of truma for the whole kri. Right, this man is there, we do l'chatchila like that. Chita achas, peteres kol akri, you can give a tiny speck. But that's only for truma because the Torah gives no shear, just as reishis. What about for maisa rishon? So Maaser Rishon says explicitly in the Chumash, you have to give Maaser. Maaser means exactly one tenth. What if the farmer wants to be magnanimous? He wants to give a lot, so he gives, instead of 10%, he gives 25% to the lady. So the din is that more than 10% is not chal. Whatever he gave that's extra is not chal. So he takes, let's say he has 50 bushels lamazov. So instead of taking 5 out of 50, that would be 10%, he takes 10, he takes 20, he takes 30, enough min, he takes a lot, and he says, I want all of these 30 bushels to be maaser rishon on behalf of what's left. So the 20 bushels of grain that are left are no longer tevel, because he said, I want this to be the maaser on that. So the others are chulam mesukanim, you're allowed to eat. But the 30 bushels that he designated as maaser rishon, only 5 out of the 30 will turn into maaser rishon, and the other 25 will remain tevel.
Right.
So you'll never know which are the maaser and which are the tevel. So even if you give all the 30 bushels to the levy may not eat it. Because it's tevel, tevel, umaiser rishon, miurav mizeh
bizeh. Not tevel, it's the same as if it's remaining three and not tevel.
So the Talmud, the Bavli holds, the Yushalmi holds a different sheet, but the Bavli presents it like this. When the farmer takes 30 bushels out of 15, he says, I want these 30 to become maaser rishon on behalf of what's left. So what's left means the 20 should become chulam mesukanim, instead of tevel it's chulam. And all the 30 should become maaser rishon, which it can't become. Only 5 out of the 30 will become maaser rishon. And the remaining 25 bushels will remain tevel like they were in the very beginning. He never said, I want this to become maaser rishon on whatever is left.
Once he gets 10% of automatically, everything becomes...
what's left becomes full of Mesukon. That's how the Gemara says. Let's say if you have 100 bushels and you take out 10 out of 100, so the 10 become Maaser Rishon. And the remaining 90 become full of Mesukon. The 10 don't become full of Mesukon, the 10 become Maaser. If instead of taking 10, it takes 11, so 10 will become Maaser Rishon. The 11th one will remain Tevel Kidimei Korah. And the remaining 89 will become full of Mesukon. When he gives the 11 over to the Levi, he's doing him a disservice. He thinks that he's giving him a big taiva. Instead of 10 bushels, he gives him 11 bushels. The Levi can't eat anything because it's tevel mixed into the maaser rishon. So the Levi is not allowed to eat tevel. How's it going to be mafrish? So the Levi has to go buy more tevel and then be mafrish in proportion on the tevel that he bought and on the tevel that he has mixed into to the maaser rishon that he got. So the Gemara asks this kasha. That's the halacha on the top line. Hamar beba maaser. If the farmer gave more maaser than he had to, instead of giving 10%, he gave 20% or 30%, whatever. So the din is peiros of misukanim. What's left over is all peiros chulam misukanim. Or maaser is mikol kolim, and all the bushels of maaser that he's giving over to the levy, he thinks he's doing him such a gevaldige favor, giving him more, so he's ruining things. Maaseros of mikol kolim. That's how the Mefarshim say it. You have to give exactly one tenth.
You should make a mistake. Too little.
Right, you have to say exactly, giving one tenth. Right. That's the Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos, on the first parak, comment on the Mishnah. It says, Aselecha Rav, Istalek Ben Asafik, Baltar Bala Asur Modest. It's all in one Mishnah. So the Mefarshim explain, Rav Chaim Alojan and others explain like this. Aselecha Rav, you should always have a Rav and ask him all the Shabbos. You shouldn't have any Sfeikas. What's wrong? Histalak ben asofik. Stay away from sveikas. The shayla is, what's so big? Whenever I have a shofik, I'll go l'chumrah. So the Mishnah gives you an example that a person, a balabos, wants to be a big tzaddik, a frumah, and he goes l'shnim mishuas adin, and he messes everything up. Baltar bala asturumad is, don't be mafresh maisres based on a guess and on an approximation of how much you think you have. And if you're not sure, you give extra. No, if you give extra, you ruin everything. When you give it to the levy, you're feeding the levy tevel. That's the price. That's a tasef to him. A tasef in the mind. It's not exactly lo seisiv. It's worse than lo seisiv over here. The hafrosha, the kriya shem of maaser is only chal on exactly one tenth. Whatever is extra remains tevel. Kidimei kor. It remains tevel. So when you give it to the levy, is my source of mikokom. He can't eat anything.
So he can't make a declaration like that when he gives it. If I'll give away 10%, and the other part should not become maaser.
Yeah, that you can do. So then he takes that 10 bushels out of 100, this should be maaser rishon, and then he takes another 10, That's Chulin Mesukanim, and he gives the Levi 20. That's fine. But if in the first place, initially, he makes a Kriya Hashem on more than 10 bushels, so then Meikaro, part of what he was Mafrish will become Maaser Rishon, and part of it will remain Tevel. But if he only takes out 10, everything became Chulin Mesukanim. Then he can take part of the chulin and donate it to the Levi. If he's not a poor Levi, he has to give him a matana, so I'll give him some extra. Huh? So the Gemara asks over here, "Bi'amai, why not say in this case, kol shena b'zeh hazeh, afilu b'vasach hazeh?" You know, if the farmer would have taken out 10 bushels out of 100 first, and then he'd take out another 10 bushels, so the second amount, the second ma'aser wouldn't be chal at all. So now that he took out 20 or 30 bushels meikoro, why not say that nothing is chal? Why do you say that 5 bushels are 10 out of the 20 that he took? Become Maaser Rishon, and whatever is left over remains Tevel. Say, Afilu b'vasach hazeh, and nothing becomes Maaser Rishon. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara gives a teretz on this kasha exactly along the lines that Rav Chaim explained. What kind of a din is that? That after you took out Maaser Rishon, you cannot be mafresh again Maaser Rishon. That's halacha because you can't have das on the second Maaser. The title is asking that. No, it's aloha meiser. Meiser means one tenth. If you already gave your tenth, you're going to give another meiser. It's not going to be called meiser. That's not a meiser. That's a fifth. Anything more than a tenth is not a tenth. So the Gemara answers, it has nothing to do with the din of Rabbah. The klal of Rabbah, kol she'ena b'zerach hazeh, afilu b'vasach hazeh, is limited to a case where the reason why it can't be chal b'zerach hazeh is because you have no right to have das the second time. Here it's not a chisaron of das. If it's halacha, the second hafrosha won't be called ma'aser. It's not a tenth, it's more than a tenth. That's what the Gemara answers. And if you're doing the Kriya Hashem of Asachas, so you're creating the ma'aser on one tenth of the whole tour. Let's have 100 bushels. Instead of taking 10 bushels off of ma'aser Rishon, I take off 11 bushels. Frek the Gemara Akasha. Why do you say that 10 out of the 11 bushels become ma'aser Rishon? And one bushel remains Tevel. Why not say nothing should be chal? All the 11 bushels should remain tevel. And for the Gemara, no, the halacha that if I would have been mafresh 10 bushels first, and then taken an additional bushel, so the additional bushel would not become ma'aser. That's not halacha. I have no right to have das on an 11th bushel. It's not halacha in das. It's halacha. It's not called ma'aser by definition. I already gave my 10th. So since it's not a chisorin in das, so if you do it with vasachas, it's also no problem. I don't say that the das on the 11th bushel contradicts the das on the 10 bushels. There's no problem of das. Just as shaila can't be chal ma'aser more than one tenth, so it'll only be chal on 10 out of 11.
It's like a neder.
Like if you make first haftorah, then you want to make hakomet. It's not chal not because you can't. You have no right to make a hakomet. There's no neder left. The same neder. That's exactly what the Gemara answers. That the klal of Rabbi kol she'ena b'zeh hazeh, afilu b'vasach hazeh, number one only applies in an issue that needs das adam. Whenever the thing is chal without das adam, shiny ma'aser behemi d'isa b'toyes, when it's chal without das adam, it certainly doesn't apply. And even in the case where you do need das adam, you only apply the principle of Rabbi, afilu b'vasach hazeh, when the reason why the second one wouldn't be chal if it would have been b'zeh hazeh is because the halacha says the yavid le'mahani, you have no right to express das for that. But if it's not a chisor in the das, it's not meiser. Or after hafor, you can't have hakomer. It sees there's no neder left to have a hakomer about. So then the din of rabbi doesn't apply because you're not making it b'zeh hazeh, you're making it b'vasach. Then the Gemara goes into a new shaila. After the Gemara brings all the rice, comes out there no kashis. The Gemara has about 10-15 lines from the bottom of the daf. A new shaila itmar. What's the halacha in the following case? Kiddush and shame is surin labia. The man comes over to two girls, two single girls, and they're both interested in marrying him. Either one would agree to marry him. So if he would give a ring to one, say, Hari Amukudash, it would be good. They're not related, unrelated to each other. If he would give a ring to the other one, it would also be good. What happens if he gives two rings to one and she says she lacked as the shteh for the other one? So they both become a kudosh shtim vasa. No problem. That's the mission. He will kaddish many women with vasa.
He gives one girl two rings and she gives one
girl. So let's say one girl appoints the other, one woman appoints the other one as a shliach for kiddush, and I give the two rings to the one girl, one for you, one for the girl. Both are both kudosh. Fine. That's no problem. What happens if they're both sisters? And one appointed the other as a shliach to get a shidduch for her, and I give the two rings, so then the Mishnah says, it's not valid. Now the Gemara has a machlokes Abaye v'Rava within the details of that din. He has two sisters. One appointed the other one as a shliach to accept the ring for her. And the chasm doesn't give two rings. He gives one ring. And he says to the chief spokesman over here, one of the two sisters should become, hereby should become married to me.
Only one.
But he doesn't designate which one. And they're both willing to marry him. And there are Adam watching. And he never designated which one. He's being the kind of shit. What's the din in such a case?
What's the difference in any case? Two other girls. If you have two girls.
If there will be two girls and he says, I want to marry one of the two of you. Never specify. So the din is that we treat them both as a suffocatious issue. Because he created Kiddush in such a fashion that it's a suffix. It's not a suffix that one of them is the Yeshus Ish, the other one is not. We don't know which one. It was a suffix that was never in his barer. It's not that we once knew who was an Yeshus Ish and we forgot. We never knew.
Aren't you supposed to specify
to avoid all the problems?
That's the only time it works.
But if it would be Mekadosh, one of two girls who are not related to each other, and he wouldn't specify, wouldn't designate which ones of the din, the halacha would treat them both as a suffocatious ish. Because they both agreed. He wanted any one of the two. They were both, each one of them needed yet. The shaila is over here, when the two are sisters, and if
one
he would have...
Right. One of them, there's only five one.
Well, he only wants one, but you mean both couldn't work. He couldn't have both. So that's a machlokes Abaye v'Rava in this case. And this is one of the Yalkagam, the Gemara says. This is one of the six cases where we pass from like Abaye, that the Kiddushin is good misafik, Havi Kiddushin. Rava says no good at all. Why does Rava say no good? What's wrong? You can't marry one of two sisters?
Why can't you say when you have two sisters, one is going to be the shlich for the other?
But he's only marrying one out of the two.
What if he wants to marry both of them?
Then it's no good. Then it's no good. Then it's another.
It should be good because one is automatically.
I mean the shliach. The one is a shliach. The other should be bottle. So only the condition should be chal with this one. That's a good cash. That's a good cash.
Why?
It's a different cash. Now here's the other case. No. Here's a different cash that we had before. Let's say there are two sisters, and I give two rings to one of them, and she's going to act on her own behalf to make mekabel kedushin for herself and as a shliach for her sister. So he asks Nakasha, why not say Ein Shalich L'Dvar Aveira? So only the Kiddushin with her should be Chal and the other one should not be Chal. That's a good cash. Okay. So you gotta look at Achranim have Klolim. When you apply... Okay. Okay, different. You can give different to it. It's a good kasha. Mestama, they are good to root, man. It's a very good kasha. But it will still be chal, you mean? The kedusha should be chal. Those are two opinions, Rabbi. You know, places Mamatida, few of them base. Has two opinions about that. When you say ein shalich dvar, that means that the avera doesn't go back to the mishalech. That means the whole kedusha is not chal. 2 days, so that would be one teret according to that opinion. It's a good cash, and you have to work out various
things. What would be the difference if he didn't, instead of the two sisters, if he said, whoever of the two women want to marry me?
I mean, they have to make up their minds which one. That's okay, then there's no problem. But if he makes...
Same thing with the two sisters?
No, it's like Kiddushin al-Atna, he leaves it, he hasn't yet determined it, it's not to be determined until later.
Which are the two women?
Right, and then it's going to be determined...
By the woman.
He said he wants them to determine.
These girls come.
Still, let's say. Why? Let's say he says, "Hariyam Kodesh Isli, if you agree to marry me." She says, "No." She says, "No is no." So here he says, Hare Achas Mikem Kodesh Isli, when you make up amongst yourself which ones, and then they made up which, either this one or that, and that's okay. It's like a Kiddushin to be determined and designated who it's going to be amongst themselves. That'll be fine. But here we're talking about a case. He was talking about a case that he doesn't present the condition like that. They're both interested in marrying him. And he says, I hereby declare that one of the two of you should be mekudeshes to me. So that's a machlokes Abaye v'Rava. So we pass from like Abaye, be al-kigam, is more so the next daft. The halacha is that the kiddushin achal here. And Rava has a new twist. Rava says, no, lo yhavi kiddushin. It's not a good kiddushin. For what good reason is the kiddushin not valid at all? I should say, it's a safek kiddushin on his sister. and I saw the Kiddushin on the other sister. So Rabbi says that he heard this from one of the earlier Amaroim. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Barahina Azbarli. There was an Amara whose name was Barahina. That was his name. He says, Barahina explained it to me based on this pasuk. Yikach ishishu uviyolo. The pasuk speaks of living with the wife after you marry her. So it implies Kiddushin amsurun labiyo. Have a Kiddushin. If the Kiddushin can lead up to married life, then it's Kiddushin. Kiddushin shem amsurun labiyo. Loi havi kiddushin. What kind of a din is that? The Taisis asks right away. Mi kiddushin that cannot lead up to bia. What if the kohen marries a grusha? Says kiddushin that you're not allowed to live with her. And still, everybody knows the din is that kiddushin with a mamzeres. So the kohen marries a grusha. Kiddushin is chal. So how does Rabbi say kiddushin that cannot lead up to bia is not chal? So same thing over here, not allowed. Rava doesn't say about the Kares. Rava doesn't stress about the Kares. That's the Shiloh over here. So Rava, so on this, what's Pshat in Rava, there's a major Lahaloch, we don't pass them like Rava. So it doesn't matter what the Pshat is. Lahaloch, we pass them like Abaye, that the Kedushin Shalanim Shalabi be a Havi Kedushin. But what is the Pshat in Rava here? There's a major Machlokes between Taisis on the one hand and the Rav Sadya Goen on the other hand. The Pei Yeshua on this Gemara quotes the Beis Yosef, and Beis Yosef once every 25 Simanim Shulchanah quotes a Rav Sadya Goen. So he has a Achidish over here, quotes a Rav Sadya Goen. Taisus gives one answer over here, what's Pshat and Rav Sadya Goen gives another answer. Taisus says that this is called Kiddushin Shulaynim Shulabir because here the Kiddushin creates the Yisr. By the case where the Kohen marries a Grusha, the girl was a Grusha before he came over to her, before he gave her the ring, she was a Grusha. By the case where the Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, the woman was a Mamzeres before he came over. His Kiddushin didn't create the problem. But over here, where he gives a Kesef Kiddushin in such a strange way that the Kiddushin creates the Yisr, each one is going to be a Suffolk Eshishish, the two sisters. Each will be a Suffolk whether she's my wife, and the other one will be, each one will be a Suffolk if she's an Achay Sishtoy. So the Kiddushin is over here creating an Yisr Erva. Instead of the Kiddushin being Matam and Isha Labailo, the Kiddushin creates the Yisr on the wife. So Taisa says that's Rav's Drosh. That the purpose of Kiddushin is Lahatar Isha Labailo, to create Heter. The Kiddushin can create an Isra. And if you have a Kiddushin that creates Isurim to the Chosn, so that Kiddushin by definition can't be Chav. That's what Rav Darshan from the Pasuk. Rav is Drosha Barahino Azbarali based on the Pasuk. Rav Sadya Goen does not hold like this. Rav Sadya Goen disagrees and he claims we have a tradition. It's very strange to understand. What did he have a tradition? What Pshat and Rav was? The Halach is like Abai anyway. So what does the Beis Yosef quote? The name of Rav Sadya Goen, Kibalna Rav Sadya, we have a tradition that Rav only said it in one specific case. Very strange, but that's how they quote the Rav Sadya Goen. He says, we have a tradition that Rav's klal only applies in a specific case. When he says, Achas Mishtechem Mekudeshesli, if he uses such a lashon, one of the two of you should be Mekudeshesli. But what happens in the following case, Dr. Rav Sadya Goen? There's a father who has two daughters and they're both below the age of 12 and a half. And the father can marry off any one of the daughters that he wants. The older, the younger doesn't matter. So the chassan marches over, he gives the father a ring. The father says, you're interested in marrying, I have beautiful daughters. He says, oh, very fine daughters. He's interested in all of them. The father says, but I can only give you one. He says, okay. Gives her the ring, gives the father the ring, and he says, Hare bitech mekudeshesli. He didn't say which one. So if he would have said, Hare achas mibnei sayech, one of your daughters should be mekudeshesli, it boils down to the same thing, whether he says, bitech mekudeshesli, without designating whom, or he says, achas mibnei sayech, same thing. So Rav Sadya Goen says, same thing, but it's not exactly the same according to Rava. If he would have said, bitech mekudeshesli, without designating which daughter, Rava would also agree with Abayi. The Kiddushin would be good, and it would be a suffix, which one is his wife, and which one is the wife's sister, so he wouldn't be allowed to live with anybody, have to give five gittin to all the five daughters. But if he says, achas mi b'nai sayach mekudeshesli, one of your daughters should be mekudeshesli, then and only then does Rava say, or he says, achas mishtechem mekudeshesli, only then does Rava say, that Kiddushin shall be why? What's the difference? What's the difference?
It's specifically something that he recalls.
So he holds, Rav Sadya Goen holds up a new twist over here. He holds that this is a continuation of the din of the Mishnah. If a man comes over to two sisters and he says, Hari Shtechem Mekudoshesli, then you have the din of Rabbi, Kol Shein Abizach HaZeh, Afilah B'Vasach HaSeinah. if he goes over to two sisters, and let's say the father has two daughters, and he says, Bitech Mekudeshesli, he's only marrying one daughter, Bitech. He's only marrying one, you just don't know which one. So then Rava would agree with Abaye. Then it would be a Safik Kiddushin, you couldn't determine which one. Only if he says, Rav only has the Chiddush in one case, if he says, Achas Mibinoi Saich Mekudeshesli, means that he's marrying all of the daughters with respect to one. That's what that Lashon means. Achas Mibinoi Saich Mekudeshesli. Otherwise you'll have a problem. The Rishonim asked, why not say, Ein Breire? He says, it's Mekadesh, one of the daughters, he doesn't designate which one. She says, Stam not Chal. Ein Breire, the Ritvoy asks, say, Ein Breire? He can't have Kiddush in Chal on a Dova Sheyla Mevuri. You don't know who the Kal is. Stami should say Ein Breire.
You have a kind of a machna here. It's not a question of one side. He comes over, he says...
The other side agrees to whatever he wants.
What do you mean? I mean, the father...
They don't argue. If the father says, what are you talking about? Who? Which one? So take
the ring. Which one did you give him?
Good. If he can make it clear immediately at the time that he gives the ring, everything is fine. The story is, what if he gave Kesef Kiddushin and they didn't make it clear, Bishas Maiseh, which one the Kiddushin is on. So then you have this Machlokes Abaye V'Rava. So we paskin like Abaye, that Kiddushin Shalai Nimsul Abi is good Kiddushin. Each one needs to get himself. But within Rava, who says that Loi Havi Kiddushin, based on this Pasuk, the Kiddushin Shalai Nimsul Abi, Loi Havi Kiddushin, here there's a Machlokes Taisus against Rav Sadya Goin. What does he mean? So Taisus says again, Taisus learns Pshat, whenever the Kiddushin creates the Yisr, so by definition, this cannot be Kiddushin. Kiddushin is supposed to be Matamani Shalabaila, not that the Kiddushin should create an Yisr. So whenever you have a case, the Kiddushin is creating an Yisra, the woman to her own husband, so the Kiddushin collapses and it's just not Chal in the first place. You don't even need a get. It's not Chal at all. And the Rav Sadya Goin doesn't learn like that. He says the Rabbi never meant that Kiddushin can create an Yisra. Kiddushin can create an Yisra also. This gefella. It means a different thought when he says, Achas Mishtecha Mekudesh Esli, the Yoylem and Stama problem, why not say Ein Breira? How can you have Kiddushin Chal if it's not Mevura? Who the Kal is? So the answer is sometimes Breira doesn't bother us. We have a Gemara in the end of Menachos that if you have, let's say, a lot of houses and I want to buy one of them, so I give you $100,000 and I say, Achas mi botayich, Achas mi botecho is niknili. Here's $100,000. I'm kind of one of your many homes, and I didn't designate which one. So the Gemara says, I'm kind of one. Which one you can stick me with the most inferior one you want?
But that's like it's not.
So the Rajbi asks in the Tshuva, why not say Ein Breira? The Nesivis quotes a Kasha from the Tshuva of Rajbi. Why not say Ein Breira? I didn't designate which house I'm being kind of. So I should say I'm not kind of anything. Why does it say I'm kind of a house? You have to give me one house, at least an inferior house. You should say I'm not kind of anything. So the Rajbi answers this. When I say I want to be kind of one of your many homes, means I'm kind of shutfis in all of the homes, with our partners and everything, with respect to that you have to deliver one of them that should belong to me completely. But I'm kind of shutfis in all the homes. So the same is true, Rav Sadya Goin holds over here as well.
Just to be safe, I say that, I'm giving you the option of picking out the house. I'm not asking a prayer. It's just, I am telling you, you can sell me which one you want. That's what he said.
But that's not chal. I give you
$100,000... I will buy whatever you have.
Let's say I give you $100,000 and you have 10 homes, and I say, I want to be cut in whichever one you give me. Before you decide, then you say you want to give me back the $100,000. You don't want to give me any home. So the din of the Gemara is that you can't back out. Too late. You must deliver one of the many homes. One of the 10 homes I did.
So I took the $100,000. I agreed to that
request. But the cash is the kinya wasn't chal in any one house, so it shouldn't be chal. So you should have a right to back out. Just because you promised to give me a home, so you break your promise, you change your mind. So the answer is no, it's not a promise. I was kind of one home. How can I be kind of one home if it's not Mevura? Which one? Ein Breira. So that's what the Rajbi asks. So he answers, no, I'm kind of shutvis in all of the 10 homes that you own. A shutvis was about 50-50? No, we didn't make that 50-50. I only gave you $100,000. That's for one home. I'm kind of shutvis in all of the 10 homes that you have with respect to the shutvis as such that we're going to split up the shutvis and we'll blide. You'll have 9 and I'll have 1. Right now we shutvis in all 10 homes. And the nature of the shutvis is 9-1. You own 90% of all the 10 homes, I own one of the 10 homes, and you have the option to make the halukah later on the way you see fit. That's the pshat. So the same is over here apparently. When the chassan tells the girl's father, Hari achas mishtechem, Hari achas mibinoisayach mekudesh esli, what do you mean achas mibinoisayach? Which one is he marrying? So the vort is, he's being the kaddish, shtei achoyis with respect to that one of them should remain his. So that's what Rava holds on. The Kaddish Shtei Achoyos is no good, even though it's with respect to one. And Abaye, whom we paskin like, says, no. If you mekaddish two sisters with respect to that one of them should remain your wife, after the chalukah of one remain, that's okay. And Rava holds it's not okay.
Why did he say it for Sikha Achoyos Isha? The Russian is such a, I think it's talking in reference to Yaakov when he married Rachel Aleha. So actually, he married Rachel, so she was the Yisha. And then when he married Leah, she was the Achoyso. I mean, it comes out that the Russian is...
Why doesn't it say Loisika
Achoyso? That would be pushing. You shouldn't take your sister, your wife's sister. Isha Lachoyso, Lachik Lachoy. First thing was the way originally he married the Rocha.
In Litzra Lebechaya is the town for the Isha.
You shouldn't take it because it's wrong.
Of course it's wrong. Stam has the punch of Shah. In this week's Seder, I'll just speak the kids, there's a very strange concept which Medrash brings out. Rashi quotes his Medrash in interpreting the Psukim. Prophet says that Bnei Yisrael were complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. They were complaining about everything and he couldn't take it anymore. So he can't. Moshe Rabbeinu complains to the Rebbeinu Shalom, you appointed me in charge of this nation. It's too much. These people are too difficult to handle. May I only boss her hand, Ochi Harisa? What am I going to do? He finally gives up and he says, Layuchal Anochi Devadi Lasesis Kolom Azeh. I can't take it anymore. I can't run. I can't control all these people. So the Medrash says, Marshal Madavadayme, Melech appointed a person to do a certain job. And job is not impossible, so the fellow's trying to do the job. Then he comes to complain to the boss, I can't handle it. It's too difficult for me. You have to give me 10 assistants. You have to give me a couple of assistants. Melech says, okay. Appoint a whole bunch of assistants, but you're going to have to pay for their salary, not me. I appointed you in charge and I'm paying you a salary. You can't do the job. So you have to pay from your pocket. I'm going to pay you and pay them. So here the Rabbanu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, look, I appointed you in charge of Bnei Yisrael. You say you can't do the job, so you're going to have to pay. So you get another group, Esfer L'Shivim Ish, get 70 people together. And the Otsalti Menaruach Asher Aleich, I'll take the Nevuah from you and I'll give it to them. I won't give them direct Nevuah. There are two types of nevuah. There's nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Navi directly min HaShemayim. And then there's sometimes nevuah that one person gets the nevuah from another person via somebody else. So that's what the Medrash interprets the pasuk over here. Yotzalti min HaRuach HaShem Alecha V'nosati Aleihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you'll pay the bill. You'll have to give them the nevuah. What does it mean? What do you mean he has to pay from his pocket like the Medrash uses the Marshal? The one in charge doesn't do a good job, so he has to pay from his pocket. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, it's not exactly so. Marshal Ma'adav Adoyma, the other Medrash says, it's like you have a candle that's burning and you take another candle, you light, you can light 100 candles and the first candle is still going to burn. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was spread out on the other 70 Nevi'im, but it didn't diminish from it. The Kesev is kind of...
No, I give you the money.
Kesev belongs to him.
When I give the guy the house, and how is he give me the... When I give the guy the money...
I can be kind of a Kesev. Thank you very much for the Matana Gedayma. Mamas, I don't have those notes. I let them out to people. Nobody ever gave them. I used it already. I used it all the time.
You know,
I needed a Shia.
He came in a couple of years ago. I don't know if you were in love, maybe he had a quarter. He came in this year to fight to give birth. Again, he said, I hear there isn't a 30-year. So, you? Now that he's gone back tonight, he's taking the nurse back to the first year.
Very good. Very good. Have a pleasant summer.
Is this the last year?
This was the last year, yeah.
And
the
after
the Sukkot.
What's up?
The Sukkot.
You want to be tomorrow?
Somebody's out tomorrow night.
You're going to be there. You have to
be there Yeah. Why are you in the beginning after?
Where are you going to be?
For 1 month, in the middle of the summer, I'll be in Kiryat Arba. And the month before and the month after, I'll probably be in Yerushalayim. We don't have an apartment here.
We don't know yet.
We're looking. Yes, we're in Yerushalayim. We're looking at us. I need your phone number.